One, two, three, four. That's gonna count out, man. Well, I like that echo. It goes right through my head. It's like, I had that happen once, but it was chemically induced. It's one, two.
Ladies and gentlemen, attention please. Come in close so everyone can see. I got a tale to tell. Listen, don't cost a dime. If you believe that, we're gonna get along just fine. Now, I've been traveling all around. I heard troubles come to your town. I got a little something guaranteed to ease your mind. It's called snake oil. Y'all's been around for a long, long time. Rock! Well, your crops will burn if it don't rain soon. Ain't seen a drop since the 10th of June. Well, I can open up the sky. People have no fear. If you ain't impressed yet, tell me what you want to hear. Well, you lost your farm, so you moved to town. Get a job or shut the factory down. Now you sit around all day long feeling sad and blue. You need snake oil, yeah, I'll tell you what I'm gonna do.
Nico.
There was a first taker on this album somewhere.
I forgot about that. It's been a long time since I listened to the whole album. Copperhead Road, Snake Oil all the way to the White House sometimes. Welcome back. It is the Melnick and Murphy podcast, episode number, what is this, 15? Wow, this is a milestone. A 15th podcast from CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side.
How you doing, Shane Murphy?
Better than last time.
No, last time you were good. Last time you were really, really good.
No, it's chemically enhanced.
No, well.
Or spiritually enhanced. Enhanced by spirits.
We had a very good podcast, I think. Who says that?
You just did.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I'm tough to please. I don't know if you figured that out
don't
yet.
Don't get me started.
But I enjoyed listening to the podcast, mostly because of you. You know, I know people, I hope people appreciated some of the rare tracks. A couple of them have, a lot of people never heard in that particular form, early demos. And so it's the music, if you're doing a show on Aretha Franklin, you know how great the music is going to be. And it was great. And but you were very, very entertaining.
I was tipsy, to be kind to myself. I don't know what happened. It's Alan. He put the bottle of Jack there, and I was like, and I don't usually drink hard stuff.
That's not true.
Before midnight and when I'm not playing. But
I've seen you do shows revved up on Jameson shots. People are being friendly.
I'm not proud of it. I had a whole 4 years at O'Regan's where, Jerry, you going to change the PA? Yes, Shane. Next week we're going to new PA in for sure. Okay. Can I get 2 shots of Jameson, please, and a Molson X?
But at least you were on top of people, so whatever issues you were having sound-wise, it wasn't really affecting us.
No. Well, it was affecting me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I'm just saying, because of the tight space, you didn't really have to worry about
it. Have you ever had to sling back a couple to get through a broadcast?
No, I've never done that. I shouldn't say never. Like, I used to do a late night show, 11:15, but I never shot anything. I used to sip scotch because I...
Okay, fine. Did you ever have to drink to take the edge off to get through a broadcast?
No.
No?
No. I should have. Very early, because I was a bundle of nerves when I started working at CJD.
That's like me with you on the podcast. That's why I'm drinking now.
Nervous. I'm with the legend. Doing this.
The first. Huh? Oh my god! Sorry, Alan. Yeah, the first 5 podcasts. I was hyperventilating. Doing? I'm adjusting my mic. See, that's what makes me nervous. He can edit it out. It's fine.
No, nothing has been edited out, as far as I know. If they did it,
CIA. They're coming after us. How about NSA?
How about that song? That's from Copperhead Road. How relevant is that now, 30 years later?
Scary times we're living in. I don't even want to say, but how, and if he is where he is, and I'm not going to say who he is, and he's still there, how dumb is he? He's still there, right? Doing a lot of crazy shit. He's still there. He's not out yet. So,
well, all the people in all the think tanks. He's closer to being out the door than at any previous point. I mean, this happened.
Is he?
It's a slow build. No, he's not yet, but he's...
But how many...
I mean, they're trying.
How long has he been where he is? A year and a half?
Yeah.
Right? So...
Well, you got these, elections in November. They're going to get swamped at the elections, and that'll be the final straw. Okay, can we get off this?
You brought it up. I didn't bring it up.
That's true.
Contentious.
I apologize.
Yeah. Can I get that on replay? I apologize.
No, but don't you find that a lot of people you talk to, is this a main topic of conversation, Donald Trump? Is it taking over conversations?
I
because that's why I try not to think about him. I really,
my mom watches
stress-inducing
CNN and BBC, but primarily CNN. She's not a big Fox News fan. And my dad used to tease her when he was running and he was, you know, getting closer. And my dad used to, you know, prod her, be like, yeah, that Donnie T, he's my man. He's got...
Don't you say that. He's a maniac. How could you say that? He's going to ruin the world.
And your mom's very, very smart.
Yeah. And then so she would get riled up and she'd start like fixing her hair as she does, and like a little bird, she would be like adjusting her. Don't say that. He's not right. And my dad's like, oh, don't worry, he's gonna take care of everything, and just poking. But now I know that things have shifted and become clearer, because my dad, who is almost 80, when my mom's not around, would be like, you know, this guy's a expletive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And mad.
He's going to get us all blown up type of thing. You know what I mean? So when the jokes have stopped.
Yeah.
When my dad stops busting balls, that's when you know there's...
Right. It's
Houston, we have a problem.
So let's talk about Steve Earle again.
Okay.
The 30th anniversary of Copperhead Road. What a great, great album that was. And it was...
I think the Pogues were on that.
The Pogues were on the album?
Pogues were on the album.
Oh, Johnny Come Home? Johnny Come Lately?
Johnny Come Lately?
Yeah.
They said there was a lot of Celtic influences for that.
Yeah, for sure. And he's changed. Copperhead Road is a brilliant song, and I think for the last decade plus, he's been performing it with a banjo. It's a different intro with a banjo, but Steve Earle and the City of Montreal, there's a pretty strong relationship. There was a period of time when he didn't play here, unfortunately, for 5 years. Nobody invited him back. It took 5 years between gigs. During the Oka crisis, he performed. I was at the Outremont Theater the night the lights went out at the Outremont Theater, and he started singing a cappella, and then the whole band played. It was like an old bluegrass moment, you know, with the electricity out, so no microphones.
Crazy.
So him and his band in the dark.
How many people?
Oh, it was packed. The Outremont Theater was jam-packed.
No, but I'm saying, what's the capacity? I don't know.
I think it's about 800. 850. It's a very special
night. And people
night.
Being quiet and people listening.
People being quiet. A couple of people had lighters. So I think that they were like the last wave of smokers in public.
Yeah. The cell phones of the 80s. Lighters.
Right. And during the Jazz Fest, he did his tour of in support of the tribute album that he did for Towns Van Zandt, all town songs. And his last couple of times, he's been at the Corona. And now here we are.
John Walker's Blues.
Very political. If Billy Bob Productions was formed as a company because of Jimmy LaFave. If you go to MitchMelnick.com, which is where you are right now, you can get the whole backstory if you want to look for it. It's interesting. I think it's interesting. And some big names in music, Roots, Americana, involved in the formation of Billy Bob Productions. Myself, Lloyd Fischler, Gary Silverman back in the day, and the late Andy Besner. Outside of Jimmy LaFave and the reason we formed as a company to bring Jimmy to Montreal, if there was an artist, if Billy Bob Production was an artist, it would be Steve Earle, I think. I think he represents the spirit of Billy Bob. Maybe not politically speaking, because I know Lloyd especially would take exception to that. But overall, there's a spirit, the musician, the songwriter, the troubadour, Americana, the musicianship, the songwriting. He's kind of a standard bearer, I think, for Americana.
Written a play?
He's written a play, yeah. And he was an actor.
Yeah, The Wire?
The Wire and Tremé, played in Tremé. He's a baseball junkie, so maybe I shouldn't say junkie. He overcame heroin. He overcame it, you know?
He was married at like 17, his first marriage.
17, imagine that.
Yeah. My dad told me once, love is blind, but marriage is an opener. And so.
Yeah. How many times has he been married? Seven times?
Yeah.
I think seven times Steve Earle's been married. Most recently.
So if Billy Bob Productions was a Lothario, was a gigolo, was a playboy about town. Wow, I just went into him again. He'd be Steve Earle.
Yeah, that would be an interesting dinner conversation. Christopher Walken and Steve Earle.
Still could happen. We should get them on the podcast.
I thought that was a cue for you to do the two voices.
Oh, well, can't win them all. That's only... Oh. Get your handle for that.
Oh. All right.
Dad, do you think I should get married? No, I'll be like Jesus and love them all.
September the 18th at MTELUS, used to be Metropolis, the entire classic album Copperhead wrote 30 years later is going to be performed in its entirety and a whole lot more.
Why wouldn't they call it Metropolis by TELUS or something cool? MTELUS is weird.
Yeah, I know.
It's a weird name.
I waited as long as possible before actually calling it that. But they're partners, you know, on the air, they're partners with us, the Venco Bell Media.
Always like them. I think it's a good name. Good change. It rolls off the tongue easier. Whoever in marketing, you're on to something.
Yeah.
TELUS. TELUS. TELUS more.
You're doing it again. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep going. So let's go to the music. Towns Van Zandt. So
Happy.
You can figure out the theme. Well, you're going to hear a lot of people who've heard of and maybe they've listened and it's too raw for them. They don't get it. You know, eventually they'll get it. You know, they'll reach a certain age. Something's going to kick in if they're a music fan and they don't.
Misery and tragedy will kick in. The realities of life will kick in.
The dark side of life, most people go there, spend some time there occasionally, and sometimes more than occasionally. And
Alan at Vera Mon gave me an album of, it was a tribute album to Towns Van Zandt.
Right.
And Willie Nelson covered Kathleen.
Yep. Oof. Heavy. Oof. Yeah. Tecumseh Valley, another heavy-duty song. But he was a brilliant guy.
I wanted to be a dentist, but I never had the pull. You know that one?
The only joke told in the middle of a Towns Van Zandt story. But yeah, that's not true, because Towns Van Zandt on stage was famous for his one-liners. He told jokes in between these heavy-duty songs. So humor was actually a part of his life, but he was so overcome with addiction and depression, and it's sad because he was a brilliant writer.
And came from scratch, right?
A lot of money, much like Graham Parsons.
Parsons, yeah.
Yeah. So here is, if you're thinking about an introduction to Towns Van Zandt, I love this. This is live at the Old Quarter in Houston, Texas, early 1970s. It's an old coffee house.
I have a few announcements for the people that just came in. Other people have heard it five times, I'm sure. The restrooms are upstairs. Payphones upstairs. Pool tables upstairs. Foosballs upstairs. Cigarette machines upstairs. No, we're not talking about that. This week, the Old Quarter's had Towns Van Zandt for five nights. We have him for one more night, and we're glad to have him here tonight. Towns Van Zandt.
Thanks a lot. Play this song first called Poncho and Legend. Sorry about the air conditioners being off, but it won't be very long. If it gets really hot, I don't know what we'll do. Well, living on the road, my friend, gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath's as hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seems. She began to cry when you said goodbye, sank into your dreams. Poncho was a bandit, boys. His horse was fast as polished steel. Wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. But Poncho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. And nobody heard his dying words. But that's the way it goes. And all the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him hang around out of kindness, I suppose. Well, Lefty, he can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. The dust that Poncho bit down south ended up in Lefty's mouth. The day they laid poor Poncho low, Lefty split for Ohio, and where he got the bread to go, ain't nobody knows. And all the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away. Now the poets tell how Poncho fell. Lefty's living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet and Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told. Poncho needs your prayers, it's true. We'll save a few for Lefty too. He just did what he had to do. And now he's growing old. few gray federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him go so wrong, out of kindness, I suppose. A few gray federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him go so wrong, out of kindness, I suppose.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Man, I never heard it. I never heard it that quiet in here before. It's funny.
Wow. Everybody has recorded that song. Everybody. You name somebody in country music of note, they've recorded Poncho and Lefty.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Got to check on that. But I bet you his daughter did.
Big and Rich.
You're nailing me here. But is that really country music?
Ooh, shots fired. That depends who you ask. Outlaw country or Nashville New Money country?
Yeah, Nashville New Money country is just... was it Petty who said... It's just rock and roll with cowboy boots, or something like that.
Well, now they got. I don't know what bands there are, but they have 808s, which is like trap drums. So you have like the lap steel and the guitar, and all you hear is like boom, 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 and the guy's like rapping. Gonna get my pickup in my old t-shirt, in my blue riding jeans, and I know it don't hurt. When I'm loving on the dance, then you're gonna fade away with a barbecue stain, and I'm gonna him,
You ever heard that? There's I haven't thing. Heard you do that. There's you do thing. Country songs. I haven't
I
heard
do,
that.
I do certain country songs.
Yeah.
I do Johnny Cash because my old man, William, wore me out. Johnny Cash Golden Hits. We had a Hitachi Mini Ghetto Blaster, and he had two cassettes, Johnny Cash Golden Hits, and I think he had Piano Hits of Ray Price or something. And every time you get home from work, heavy vehicle operator, and you come home and you be wearing the Union Blues Kodiaks, you see the sweat stain on his back, and you sit down, you'd have a couple of beers, and ding 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 every day. Ding 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 ding. And I'm like tripping on Hendrix. He's like, "Why are you playing that shit for? I learned one of Johnny Cash's songs. It's good." But he's
I like your dad even more now.
He's gotten on a lot of hard spots, you know. Show's not going so good. You're looking around the bar, and you see a lot of white socks with New Balance sneakers and cargo shorts and guys wearing their sunglasses on their baseball caps, and all I have to do is ding, 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 ding. Don't want to hear Hendrix. Don't want to hear dancehall reggae.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Woo, you're amazing. Oh, thanks.
But they are great songs. It's not like it doesn't
they're great
you
songs.
To play them.
Bother me. No, but it's just a cultural bridge. It's a cultural touchstone. It's like Sweet Home Alabama. It's like a big ball of crack cocaine for your ears. You hit those like first three notes, and we were like, doesn't matter who, they just start dancing. But
instead of fighting it, why not embrace it?
Pardon me?
Yeah, why not?
I find if I embarked on a country career, that would be strange since I've never been on a horse.
No, I mean what you're talking about. Like Sweet Home Alabama is a really good song. Has it been overplayed? Of course. But
right.
It's a Nobody's going, oh, shit, I'm hearing this one again, you know?
Well, except all the people in the band. your soul seep out the bottom of your pants.
As someone who occasionally...
Well, that's easy for you to say. Yeah. You don't do anything whorish on the radio. You do what you want. You play Bob Dylan bootlegs and outtakes. I don't see you playing Big and Rich and Sweet... Why don't you open one of your segments with Sweet Alabama? Okay.
Yeah, I think
rock
I probably
me,
have.
Rock me, baby, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, whoa, baby, rock me. Wagon wheel.
Yeah,
that's crack cocaine for girls. Wagon wheel. It's instantaneous. Yeah. You just win them over.
partially written by Dylan, you know.
Well, not, no, probably it's not like they
two
got
lines or something.
It's not like they, no, the chorus, but they didn't get in the room together with Dylan and
no,
Bob was like, still, and you guys, never, that didn't happen. It was like an outtake from like the bootleg tapes, and
right.
they wrote around it.
Yeah.
And give the big publishing money for that.
Lauren Rubin, ooh, you slipped into somebody there. Lauren Rubin, Paramount Financial Service, a big thank you to Lauren as the first of, we know there will be more sponsors. How about that? Way to go, Lauren. Lauren was there first. Lauren has
a
vision.
Mensch. He's a mensch.
He has vision. And what do you want from people who take care of your money? You want them to have vision. And you want them to be honest. And that's exactly what Lauren is. At Paramount Financial Services, 514-905-0876, 514-905-0876.
And drive a nice whip. That guy's got some nice wheels, man.
Took
you got some 23 rims on there now, baby.
It took his boys to Drake.
Drizzy.
This week.
Aubrey.
Yeah.
October's very own.
Do you like Drake?
That's a good question. Marky, my drummer, loves Drake. And it's growing on me. The production's very good. The words are very good.
I have trouble with his voice.
Content. Well, I mean, he's not really a singer per se, but
it's
different though. It's a different.
Doesn't reach me, to be honest.
Yeah,
his voice doesn't reach me.
The texture of his voice or the way he sings, his melodic choices.
It's not appealing to me. His voice is not appealing to me in any way.
He's arguably one of the top three biggest hip hop.
I know.
Artists in the world, and he's from Toronto.
I know.
Like, put Toronto on the map. Like,
I know who Drake is.
I know, you know. I'm just saying, maybe people listening to the podcast don't know who he is.
No.
Well, maybe.
There's not one person listening to the podcast who doesn't know who Drake is.
My mom listens to the podcast. She doesn't know who Drake is.
She's aware of Drake. She's aware of this rapper from Toronto?
No.
Oh. So that's our target audience.
The seniors, yeah. Seniors.
Shane's mom.
Who
warned us about Trump.
He's not all there in the head, you know. He's going to get a lot of people killed.
Larry King told me that on the radio.
He said what?
He's not well. He's not well. He told me this last October.
Yeah, but maybe there were
before the election.
But not being well, there's a lot of presidents, ex-presidents who had huge egos and who are not all mentally there.
Oh, Nixon.
But
Nixon
who could run?
Definitely paranoid and
dark. Paranoia is just common sense when the whole world's against you. But it's. I don't care if you're mentally imbalanced. I don't care if you're unwell. I don't care if you're a megalomaniac. Just keep your shit together and keep the train on the tracks.
Yeah,
that's really the big issue for me.
Yeah, but there's no change in the same. He's the same person he was all those years ago in New York. But anyway, can we go back to Towns Van Zandt for a second?
You keep on bringing up Trump, and then you make it like me that I'm causing the digression. I'm not.
You will like this. There's a movie out. I don't know if it's going to hit Montreal.
You're Maverick. I'm Goose. We're in Top Gun. Just don't get me killed, okay? Just, I'm here for you.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I feel the need for speed. Boom, 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 boom.
Who's the actress in that? Very attractive.
Meg Ryan. Kelly McGillis.
Kelly McGillis is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Meg Ryan plays Goose's wife.
See, I don't remember that.
So Tom Cruise has to walk into the room, and she's got a little girl, and then he has to tell her that Goose has died.
But there was a big music scene, right? With playing the jukebox or some big
Righteous Brothers.
Righteous Brothers, yeah. That was a wave of movies. There was a scene in every movie with somebody driving a car, singing along to what they're listening to on the radio. It's like every movie had a karaoke scene in it.
Example?
I just know that there was a wave of movies back then.
Silence of the Lambs, American Girl, right before she gets kidnapped. She's singing along. She's tapping on the steering wheel. She gets out of the car, helps the guy into the van. It puts the lotion on its skin.
So there is a movie coming out about Blaze Foley, who came up on this podcast a couple of podcasts ago. Lucinda Williams' Drunken Angel, about this kind of legendary figure among hardcore Texas troubadours, that whole community. Drank himself to basically not being able to have a steady job, but an incredible figure. John Prine covered him. There's a movie out. Ethan Hawke made a movie. He's playing this character of Blaze Foley, and Charlie Sexton is playing Towns Van Zandt. How about that?
Wow.
Huh? I'm very much looking forward to seeing this. So are we gonna be together at Tellus?
I spoke to
Steve Earle.
Tellus. I spoke to Charlie Sexton on the phone.
Did you really?
I saw. Here is another example of you thinking you bullshit.
Well,
Murphy,
why would you
Murphy
be,
just bullshits at parties?
Why would you be talking to Charlie Sexton on the phone?
Because I had signed my record deal in 2008, and they said, "Who do you want to produce the record?" And as you know, me and Mike Mikkel used to trip out on Essence.
Lucinda Williams.
Produced by Charlie Sexton.
Right.
So I said, well, and you know, when you sign the record deal, you get to pick who along with the people who are paying for it. And I said, well, either Charlie Sexton or Gordy Johnson.
Big Sugar.
Yeah. And we sent a couple of demo tracks. And I remember I only spoke to him for like 3 minutes on the phone. And he was like, yeah, there's a couple of interesting guitar ideas there. Anyways, we'll go into the details, but Gordy ended up producing it. Or a bunch of tracks, I should say. But no.
Yeah. So he passed.
Passed is an ugly word, Mitch. He had a busy schedule.
Well, I never knew this. You never told me this.
Yank.
Falovich.
Yank.
So Gordy Johnson produced the album, and has it ever been officially released? Like the Texas Sessions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Volume 1 and Volume 2, yeah.
When and where? Well, I don't even have this.
Listen, I don't want to talk about the ins and outs of the record business.
A brilliant marketing campaign.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Would I enjoy listening to the Texas Sessions?
Probably not.
No? Why not?
Very reggae.
I like reggae.
Okay, so yeah, you would.
Like The Clash?
A little bit more reggae than The Clash.
Yeah, but I mean Clash The Clash was, incorporated reggae into their sound.
With a very sort of rock production and sort of white boy approach to the instruments. So it's different. Sounds different. Gordy was a reggae freak, and we tripped on that together, so that was our sort of connection.
And he covered...
four or five songs
of yours.
There's a couple on Revolution Per Minute. He covered Done in the Dark. He covered Deputy on.
I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it here. Done in the Dark should have been a hit.
Well, you know, you got some strengths. It's gonna be the 10th anniversary of Street Money Miracle next year. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'll do a remastered version.
Do the as live sounding as possible.
Okay.
And it would be, I think, a completely different sound, more to who you are than Street Money Miracle.
Okay.
In terms of the sound, the production.
Sure.
So Steve Earle, do you remember, you've done Steve Earle songs? Perhaps with more enjoyment than Johnny Cash songs? I don't know.
See, now people are going to think that I don't enjoy Johnny Cash. I do enjoy Johnny Cash, but it's just, people just get... It's a safe place. You start, you know, Ring of Fire or Folsom Prison Blues, they're not. And if you're in a pub drinking, who are you to be musically challenged? You just want to, you know, enjoy yourself, and you don't want the band playing some weird shit. I get it. But Steve Earle, I used to play I Feel All Right with my cousins, Emmett and Sean and Danny, when we played in The Ropes, Point St. Charles.
The Ropes.
The Ropes, yeah. And Emmett turned me on to, I've told the story before, but turned me on to The Replacements and Nick Lowe, and big Paul Westerberg fan.
Yeah.
And we played with Steve Earle, and really the Animals, really my school in terms of a lot of stuff that I should have checked out. And I did, thanks to Emmett, you know. Emmett Michael.
This is a good song to follow that, actually. Because in keeping, again, with the theme of the podcast, you mentioned Lucinda Williams. She normally she would be part of something like this, but we have a time issue. So here is my all-time favorite female voice. I'm not sure if Steve Earle is on this or not, but for your cousins, your departed family members.
Oof,
Was I just off somewhere just too high? But I can't remember if we said goodbye. That's what happens when you put the words of Steve Earle to the voice of Emmylou Harris and the production skills of Danielle Lanois from Wrecking Ball. That's just gets me every time, that song. All right, let's move on. And
are you tearing up?
Happy place. Let's get to a happy place.
You turned up over there?
No, it's just it's an emotional, just Emmylou Harris is like an angel.
Any regrets?
About?
Your life?
Oh, my God. That's the question you ask somebody my age.
Man of experience.
No, you just, I think you just want to avoid, you know what? Yeah. I try not to look back. It's a pretty good lesson. Satchel Paige said that. Don't look back. Someone might be gaining on you. Don't look back.
It's good. I like that.
Yeah. So I'm not, I am.
Lost moments and regrets.
Yeah, regrets.
Any moments.
Who doesn't have a regretful moment? But it's, you beat yourself up over it. So,
moments you could go back and relive just because they were such a blast?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. Those days at Jerry Park when I was a kid watching Major League Baseball, all these guys coming in, Clemente and Marichal and all those guys, and swimming pool at Jerry Park. And
swimming pool?
Swimming pool out behind the right field fence at Jerry Park, yeah.
Like a public pool?
Yeah, I was just there 2 weeks ago on my bike. It was packed. Hey, it's cooled off. At least it's cooled off. Yeah, I'd like to go back to Blue Monday and maybe bring somebody else in from the bullpen instead of Steve Rogers facing Rick Monday. Rogers was brilliant down the stretch, but he was not a reliever. That's pretty sad, huh, that Expos moments take precedent. It's the first thing I think of. When you say regret, it's the baseball team that was here since I was a kid until 2004. They never went to a World Series.
So that's how much it figures in your life.
It was a major.
And how much you love it.
Yeah, no question.
Okay.
No question. And but in terms of family, no, you wish you had more time when they're gone. That's why, you're lucky to have both your parents around.
Yeah.
I remember I lost my dad. My dad passed away. He was 84. And Stephen Brunt said, you may not actually feel it the way you're going to feel it in about 5-10 years. The older you get, the more you're going to miss him. That's true. Absolutely. So, the conversations you have with your dad over anything. I miss that. I miss the opportunity to do that.
Mine was Eunice Delvecchio never letting me get to second base.
Oh, regrets. I had a few. A few.
Sacred Heart.
A few named Delvecchio.
Sacred Heart School for Girls. Eunice. Murphy's tagged out at second. You didn't have a good look, Bob.
How did she?
And didn't really have the wheels.
How did she put an end to it? Or was that your fault?
Wrist lock. Yeah.
What is Eunice Delvecchio doing today?
Bon Jovi was playing softly in the background. Remember, I was wearing a forest green Puma tracksuit.
Is this a joke?
And we were making out, and I thought I was doing pretty good.
Is this a joke?
Regrets. I've had a few. Oh, come on, Eunice.
Do the Sid Vicious version.
I'm not your puppet.
Is this a joke? No, it's a roast. We are roasting Tony Marinaro on Thursday, September 27th at Club Soda. And I can't tell you what it's going to be like other than a lot of people are going to be going hard after Tony. And
it's going to be like the Jerry Park pool, but without the same amount of suntan oil, but no water.
If he's still standing at the end of the night. I mean, Derek Sagan is going to work. I can say this with an absolute guarantee, 100%. Derek Sagan is going to work harder on September the 27th at Club Soda than he's ever worked in his professional life, ever.
Okay.
Because he's going to be Derek Sagan, who's one of the top comedians, unpredictable and wild and dirty and very funny.
Potty mouth.
He's going to be the host. He's going to welcome everybody. He's going to do what he does. But he's also going to be the MC of the roast. So he's got like 20 targets that he's looking at all night, in addition to his own skill as a stand-up, right? And I would imagine Tony's going to take the brunt of it, but other people, whoever's up there is a target. Even people who are in the audience will be a target.
Anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody's on the dais is a target.
Anybody? Anybody. Everybody at Club Soda is a target, but especially Tony.
Anybody Thursday, who's naturally truculent and pugilistic in their intentions is a target?
Yes.
Okay.
Little Mitch Gallo could possibly be a target.
He's going back in the ring.
They're working on it. It's a slow build. So in addition to the roast, and it is kind of styled after the old Dean Martin celebrity roast. You can see it on YouTube in the 70s, Foster Brooks. You say Foster Brooks to anybody under 40, they don't know who you're talking
Slippy,
about.
Slippy, Slappy. I'd like to thank Lewis Rubin from Paramount. Give me a hug, Jimmy.
Do you want to channel Foster Brooks at the roast? That would be something.
Yeah, I get gassed on Jack Daniels. Start messing up the songs.
Shane is going to be the band leader. He's going to perform his own set. Who you got playing with you? Is a lot of the guys that played at the Southern Soul and Rock and Roll?
Yeah, I think we got four out of the eight. It'd be me, Marky Beats on drums. Antoine Graton keys. I think Graham Chambers, just waiting for confirmation from Graham Chambers on percussion, and Alec McElkern on bass.
Oh, this is a dynamite band, folks. So what we're going to do
I've got some killers, Mitch. I got some killers on stage. I'm not going to lie.
Doors open at 7 o'clock. And Shane will hit the stage with his buddies at 8. They're just going to blow the roof off the place, get you ready, some people, because we recognize that...
Or it might be terrible. They might not like it at all, but that's okay.
Yeah. But some people might not have ever seen you. It's amazing when sometimes these events that we put on, that Shane Murphy guy. Where did the Shane Murphy guy come from?
People who go to bed at 10.
Yes, well, I happen to know some of those people, you know? Yeah. They're very productive. And some people have no choice. Some people wish they had a different job, but they have to get up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning because they're a dentist or they're a doctor or they're almost anything else.
You know what my favorite job I had was? A night watchman at a mattress factory. Man,
out of the Towns Van Zandt joke book?
I'm going to have one more shot.
Sure you are. So this is on Thursday, September 27th. Is this a joke? No, it's a roast in at least two languages. Most of the VIP tickets are gone. We put out a select few of VIP tickets and tables. What that means is they're reserved for you. You can get there any time, and they're closer to the stage. That's all that means. And we appreciate the number of people who decided to spend a little extra money and also helping out Cure SMA. It's Tony's favorite charity. It is spinal muscular atrophy. It afflicts kids, unfortunately. A lot of them end up in wheelchairs. And we're going to spend a good chunk of our on-air time over the next little while explaining more about Cure SMA. It's going to be a wild night, Thursday, September 27th. I don't think Montreal's seen a night like this. Comedy, sports, live music. And everybody's got a walk-up song. So Shane has been busy learning some songs he's never played before.
Quote, unquote, learning.
Because the easy thing to do is just play the chorus, the record, while they get up there to roast Tony. We're going to do it live. You're going to do it live.
Bill O'Reilly.
There you go.
Fuck it, we'll do it live. I'm going to do it live. Sorry. It's the Jack Daniels song. Well, I'm sorry.
While you're checking the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast on YouTube, you may want to check that one, too.
I'm sorry about the cursing, Lauren. I swear to God. It's the rye. I won't drink anymore.
Yeah.
Holy Christ.
First thing Lauren's going to say. It sounds good, but Shane, does he have to swear so much?
Potty mouth.
So I want to play a trio of songs here by a relatively new group of extremely well-known Montreal musicians. I think you know all of them. Billy Bob Productions proudly sponsored their appearance at the Montreal Folk Festival. they're very much in tune and in line of the kind of music we're featuring tonight. They're called El Coyote, and it's three of the finest female voices in the country, well-known Montrealers, Michelle Tompkins, Katie Moore, Angela DeVoe. We used to book Angela as an opener for a lot of the shows that we did in the late 90s, and Mac McKenzie, too, when he was on a hiatus. And it's great to see Angela back. Mike O'Brien.
Wizard. Guitar wizard.
Multi-instrumentalist. Joe Grass.
Freak.
Is also on this.
Freak guitar player.
At times, I'm listening to this, and it brings to mind the vibe and the sounds of like Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I think on the last song we're going to play called "Begin Again," it's right out of let's just listen to a couple of tunes by El Coyote. It's the brand. It's just out.
Wish I could explain, got nothing to say, staring out at a straight line. I'm weaving in, weaving out, and the mess I leave behind. But you're always gone. Thank you.
It's your last night alive. My friends, I know we're getting tired. They say I'm bored and I'm killing the buzz. But even when I get what I want, I'm in the same old place I always was. And I know walking in someone's shoes and the grass being greener. Yeah, I've got my own road. But if I don't wake up tomorrow, promise me that you'll go collect my last paycheck, get it signed over to you, and empty out the tip jar. Like it's your last night alive. If I don't wake up tomorrow, promise me that you my last paycheck, get it signed over to you, and empty out the tip jar, tie one on real wide, drink to life and live it like it's your last night alive. Oh all the strangeness you
Welcome back, Angela DeVoe. Angela DeVoe and Katie Moore, that last tune is Begin Again. Katie Moore was singing Tip Jar, and Michelle Tompkins Come Around, El Coyote, the vocalist in El Coyote, along with, as we mentioned, Mike O'Brien, Andrew Horton on bass and vocals, and Joe Grass on pedal steel and dobro. You're just a brilliant player, right?
Awesome, yeah.
And I can't read... Sorry, I can't read this. Dave Bryant. That's a drummer that Shane Murphy doesn't know. It's possible.
That's so, it's a, such a vague and open, doesn't know. Well, or hasn't pissed off yet.
Well, yeah.
That's what you wanted to
Give
say.
Give Dave time. The album, again, is El Coyote. I'm sure they're going to be part of Pop Montreal. And if you like some of the music we're featuring, and who doesn't? I mean, Steve Earle, Emmylou Harris, Townes Van Zandt, that kind of thing, that kind of vibe. We're almost done here with edition number 15 of the Melnick & Murphy podcast. Thank you for listening at MitchMelnick.com. Jay Farrar has just filed another installment. Have you been reading Jay, The Third Culture, on this site?
Love Jay.
Shane's got to go. He suddenly shortened his answers.
No. No, I haven't read it yet. Because I'm going through an addiction right now, Mitch, I'm going to tell you. I didn't have Facebook or Instagram on my phone for a long time.
Uh-oh.
And I was reading voraciously books were omnipresent in my house. I was flying. I was a literary barracuda, chomping through chapters. And then I got the Facebook app and the Instagram app, and I just, hours of my life wasting away. So that's the next challenge. Get rid of those two apps.
So you're acknowledging that you're spending too much time on social media.
Oh, my God.
But not on Twitter.
Twitter, no. I don't like words now. I like pictures. I like pictures of CrossFit girls and guitar pickups. Heavily muscled.
By the way.
Girls doing squats. It's true. I don't know why. Maybe it's too much information for the podcast.
By the way, Tommy Youngstein is coming back also. November 30th, Friday night at Theater Fairmont. It's the Christmas show that they were supposed to do before Tom Petty died.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've reconvened, and Bilal Butt is going to open with a band. So it's going to be a wild night. Early notification. Tickets are on sale at Theater Fairmont on Park Avenue. The return of Tommy Youngstein, the very best of Bruce Springsteen, plus a special Motown Christmas tribute. And Bilal Butt and his band for the night. November 30th. Looking forward to seeing you there. Tickets available at theaterfairmont.ca. Thanks to Alan Hodgins, CNS Studios in Western NDG.
What up, cuz? What up, cuz? West Side.
How was Newfoundland?
Was good. It was good. It was beautiful. Yeah, it was always a pleasure. Place was packed. Place
Shane Murphy once again at Stephen Brunt's Writers Festival in Woody Point, Newfoundland.
No edibles were consumed. No animals were harmed. That's not true. They had a barbecue outside of the Legion. And it was a charity for the Make-A-Wish. So they were just like selling hot dogs and hamburgers. And I think I had in 3 days I was there, I must have had 15 cheeseburgers. It was amazing.
Yeah, I drank rum and Coke. But
what? Are you looking at my corpulence, Mitchell?
No, I'm looking at your black t-shirt.
What do you mean my black t-shirt? What's wrong with my black t-shirt?
Nothing.
I'm fit as a fiddle. A bass fiddle. Out-of-tune bass fiddle. It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah. Brunt? He's doing good?
Main man. Still looks the same. Dorian Gray. Hasn't changed. And, who did I get to see this year?
I know Blackie and the Rotary Kings are up there, but I think you just missed them.
Yeah. Yeah, saw some readings and was very cool. Saw an old friend of mine, Des Walsh, very prominent Newfoundland poet. And he was, telling, I was like, so who should I check out next, in terms of, like, being lyrically inspired? And he's like, check out Yeats, and you got to check out Dickinson, and you got to check out Dylan Thomas. And I was like, yeah, I got to.
So instead of Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. Except there's no, there's no pictures of filtered selfies on Dylan Thomas books. You know what I mean? I need it.
Well, there are pictures on MitchMelnick.com. If you reach 8 Farrar's Third Culture, there are pictures in that.
Okay.
All right. Just give it a shot. Yeah.
Okay.
It's unlike most of what anybody reads today. It's for people who actually like to read.
Okay.
I know we may be a dying breed.
Can I get some of my writings on Mitch Melnick?
Sure, you can do whatever you want. Absolutely.
I'm doing haikus.
Cool.
Yeah.
Not much editing.
Limericks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you want to
there
take
There once
us
was
out?
A man from Nantucket.
You want to keep going?
There once was a woman from Brussels who could flex her. Anyways. Yeah. The last song?
Yeah. Since we started with Steve Earle, let's end with another Earle.
His son that he named after Towns Van Zandt, Justin Towns Earle. It's an old Lightning Hopkins song. My starter won't start this morning. Must be something wrong with my little machine. I don't know what he's talking about, but goddamn.
So this is, most people would not associate guitar skills with Justin Towns Earle.
Amazing guitar player. One of my top three favorite guitar players by himself.
One of your top three favorite guitar players is Justin Towns Earle.
Yeah. Jimi Hendrix, Prince, Justin Towns Earle. For me.
Well, that's how we're going out. And so we'll all find out why. Good to see you again. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. I think we're going to be doing our favorite live albums of all time.
All right.
On the Melnick and Murphy podcast at MitchMelnick.com, Justin Towns Earle, once again, the name of this Lightning Hopkins tune?
A starter won't start. Bad gasoline.
machine now.
Oh, you just been burning bad gasoline.